Welcome to Miracle Night. We're here on TikTok. Your host, Apostle Jason Leppard. All right, guys. All right. We're going to get in the message. Then we're going to pray over the sick tonight. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to be upon us, and we're going to pray over the sick. But let's get in this word. If you have your Bibles, Jason, turn your Bibles to James chapter 4, brother, and you can read. Cain is not in the vocabulary with God because the Bible said, I can do all things. See, I can. Cain's not in God's vocabulary. I don't care what your disorders are. God has the final say. He has the final order. So James chapter 4. James chapter 4, guys. We're there in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. All right. James chapter 4. From whereince, we're in the King James. You those who have the King James stompers out there. From where comes wars and fighting among you? Come they thou not hence, even were your lust, they war against your members. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have, and you cannot attain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. That's a good message tonight. You have not because you ask not. If you don't ask God, he ain't going to give it. You being evil know how to good gifts to your children, how much more to your heavenly Father, the ones who ask him will give him a stone. God ain't going to give you a stone. He's going to give you exactly what you ask for. Yes. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask in amiss. My God, this is getting good tonight. That you may consume it with your own, upon your lust. You adulteress, you adulteress. You know that the friendship of God of this world is an enemy to God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is an enemy to God. Do you think that it is scripture saying in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he that giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We got some proud people in here tonight. Do we have some proud people here tonight? Because I want to tell you something. If you're proud, God's going to humble you. There's two things that you got to learn with God. You humble yourself or God will humble you. Now, if you're prideful, I know when people are prideful, they don't listen to nobody. They think they got it all right and their eggs in a shell and their buckets in a nugget. That's it. They think that their stuff don't stink. They're proud. They're not going to listen to nobody. I know. I've been there. They think they know it all. They seen that, bought a T-shirt, burned it, stomped it, and everything else. Hey, Sister Christy, how you doing, sister? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world will be an enemy to God. But do not think it scripture said in vain, the spirit dwelleth in the lust to envy. But he that giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resist the proud, but give grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw nigh to God, and he will what? Draw nigh to you. Hello, sister. And James chapter 4, we in James chapter 4. Okay, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, number one, you can't be prideful and submit to God. Come on. You cannot live in a prideful spirit and be submissive to God. And how do you know you're prideful? Because if God's put you under somebody, come on, women's supposed to be under the head if he's the head of the house, but when you get prideful and bullish, God humbles you. Why? Because you're out of order. Even in a ministry, I told you earlier, there's no apostles, there's no pastors, there's nothing like that in heaven. You know what's in heaven? Jesus said it. He said, my Father shall seek them who worships him in spirit. There's only worshipers in heaven. Nowhere in Scripture says that there's apostles in heaven. God had to put order down here on earth because it was out of order. Come on. He had to put things in order. But in heaven, there's no order. What order is, God is the head and the rest of us is worshipers. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. My Father seeks to them that worship him. You understand that we're all worshipers in heaven? I don't care if you can't say a tear in a bucket. I don't care if you can't say sing a tear in a bucket. It does not matter. Long as you praise him and worship him in spirit and in truth, come on. He seeketh those who what? You want to get God to seek you? Start worshiping him. You want to get God's attention? Start worshiping him. That's why music ministry, that's why this and sitting right over here, I've been telling her for a long time, worship is powerful. Singing is powerful. Why? Because it gets God's attention. God can be off doing something and you worship him, he'll stop what he's doing real quick because he seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Not these phony balonies up there trying to look like showboats. Come on, I sung with them. Choo-choo boys of Chattanooga. Come on, I'm just going to say some names because you need to get rid of that arrogance and pride just because you got CDs and just because you've been on TBN. Come on, I've sung with them, choo-choo boys. I've sung with quartets and everything else in a three-piece suit coming up to the arena. Think they're going to get the bus, buy the bus. Listen, God told me I'm not in it for fame or fortune. I'm in it for God, you see. I wrote a song in Tinga, Georgia, a long time ago. I'm not in it for the fame or fortune. I'm in it for God, you see. I could have had the bus, the plane. I could have had everything, but I chose to follow him and not run after fortune and fame. You think I'm kidding, don't you? That's a true story. In Atlanta, Georgia, I got offered a plane with God Saving Ministries on it. You know what I told him? I said, I don't want it. Why? Because God ain't in it. Oh, that was my dream. I could have run for it. But come to find out, the guy that was running the sound was flirting with my wife. Come on. I don't want none of that junk. My God. All they looking for is fame and fortune. See, you can't run after fame and fortune. You got to run after God. I could have been on the road singing and doing ministry, and I wouldn't even probably be at home right now, probably. But you know where I'd be? I'd be in Las Vegas, drunk, and everything else, probably singing church on Sunday. On Monday, we'd be drinking beer. Yeah, that's where I'd be headed because that's what they were doing. Yeah, church folks, just saying. Verse 6, but he that giveth grace, wherefore he hath God resist the proud, but give grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You cannot submit to God when you're in a prideful spirit. Believe me, I can detain a prideful spirit easy. They don't listen. All they do is, yeah, okay, shut up and listen. They don't. But verse 7 says, submit therefore yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. What does that mean? You got to take a step, and God take another. Cleanse your hands, you sinner. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Listen, he's given you a chance to humble yourself before he does. Ain't he a gracious God? He's telling you, listen, if you know you're walking in pride, if you know, listen, I preached a message one time, pride can't ride. If you got pride, God will get rid of your pride. You know what pride says? Number one, I'm not going to listen. Number two, I'm not going to receive what God has sent me. I'm going to keep on rebelling against it. And God's going to humble your little hind end, but God's giving you a choice to humble yourself. That's what he just said. He's giving you a choice to humble yourself. Pride attaches itself to sin. It does. Well, I don't need God. I don't need what he sent me. I don't need, and you resist what he sent you because you make up all the excuses, and then you start justifying yourself, and you start downgrading the things that he sends you. Come on. My God, who am I preaching to? Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Let your joy to heaviness. What does that mean, guys? That means God's going to turn your bucket of the other side of the way. You used to have joy, but now you're going to have heaviness. See, it's in your battle. God is trying to correct you and humble you and trying to tell you, listen, I'm giving you a chance to humble yourself. But if you don't, I'm fixing to humble it for you. Come on, it's kind of like your children. You told them to stay out of the road. They didn't stay out of the road. And now you come back with a paddle and said, I told you so. And if you don't listen, you're going to get it. God disciplines who he loves. Verse 11 says, hold on, guys. Let me go down here. Speak not evil one of another. Brethren, he that speaketh evil of his brother, watch this, and judges his brother, speak evil of the law. And judges the law. But if thou art a judge, if thou judge the law, then thou not a doer of the law, but a judge. I'm going to read this real slow. I'm going to go back. Verse 11 says, speak not evil of one another. Brethren, he that speaketh evil of his brethren and judges his brethren, judges his brethren. Let's go over that one more time. Judges his brethren. Speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But he that judges the law, thou art a doer of the law, but thou art not a doer of the law, but you become a judge. I'm going to say that one more time. Y'all need to hear this. You're not getting it. And verse 11 says, speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brethren and judges his brethren, speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, then thou art a doer of the law. So if you become a doer of the law, guess what that makes you? A judge. And guess what that makes you? God. I'm going to read that one more time. Y'all just ain't getting it. I need you to get this. Because you ain't seeing what I'm seeing. Speak not evil one of another. Brethren that speaketh evil of his brethren, judges his brethren. Now that means I don't care if you see me in the biggest fault if you ever seen in your life. I don't care if you find out I was at the liquor store last night. Listen, you don't have no right to judge me. I don't care. I don't care. Now, you have a right to correct me in the Lord, but you don't have a right to set judgment on me. Evil of his brethren, judges his brethren, speak evil of the law, and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, then thou art a doer of the law. So if you become like the rich young ruler and follow all the Ten Commandments, just like he said, Lord, I've did this, I'm a good man. He said, you lack one thing, you rich young ruler. Go sell all you got and follow me. And he couldn't do it. You got to understand something. When the Bible says the law, the Ten Commandments says, put no other gods before me, that means your money. Come on. But see, people don't understand what adultery consists of. Adultery consists of looking at a woman in your eyes, committing adultery in your head. See what I'm saying? If a man looks at a woman and already committed adultery in his heart, he's already committed adultery. He's an adulteress. You follow what I'm saying? But even if you catch me in my adulteries, my God, you got to get this. Even if you catch me in my adulteries, even when you catch me doing it, what did Jesus do with a woman that was caught in adultery? She looked at the ones that had the stones, was about to throw at her, and he started writing in the sand. And guess what he said? He got up from that sand, and he looked at the stone throwers, and he said, listen, y'all caught her in the act. Absolutely. What God is saying tonight, you might catch me in the act, but you can't disqualify me from my destination. And what is my destination? It's heaven, baby. Because God steps in and he starts writing. And he sits up and says, listen, that's okay, y'all catching her in this authority, but who's in the wrong? Is she in the wrong or are you in the wrong? Because now you become God. My God, you got to get this. See, what's more wrong than adultery is you being God. Pride can't ride. When you act like God and you're not God, you're being like God. And what happened when Satan took over the throne? He wanted to take over God's position. That's what I see going around all the time with these hypocrites. They're hypocrites. They constantly want to pick my faults and my failures when God steps in and starts writing. You can't disqualify me because God has my destination before me. That's why he's sitting in the sand and started writing. I feel the anointing on this. Somebody's going to get a breaker out of this. When God started writing in the sand, he took your place of sin. People want to condemn people, but people, we don't have our final destination. Only God knows where you're going. Even when you see me in my biggest fault, even when you catch me in the very act of it, you cannot judge me and you cannot detain me where God's got me going. But if that's the case, then I should have been out of this game a long time ago because I've did some mess ups. I've done some throw ups. I've messed up so many times, but God keeps picking me up. When people put me down and when they put me in the garbage and tell me it's over, you're never going to be a pastor because you've been married three times. I'm going to tell you something. It don't matter if I've been married four times. God has a fourth. He has a fifth. And if he has to go to six, he's going to get you to your destination. Now, who are you to put me in a judgment? Who are you to stand before me as God and say, listen, you're sentenced to death? Get your judgmental, criticism, self-righteous attitude and repent, or you're going to go to hell for judging people all the time. You know who's going to be in hell the most? People that sit and judge people. Oh, yeah, yeah, you mess up, all that, they'll nail you to the cross, baby. I'm talking about when you do any little thing wrong, oh, my God, they nail you. They won't even socialize with you no more because you done messed up. Any kind of funny, God comes around and he says, Jason, I don't say nothing about it. I'm still your friend. And then you repent like Peter did. Lord, I'm sorry I messed up again. How could I do that to you? Now, you leave my salvation to me, okay? You don't have no right of judging me because you ain't working my salvation out. You working your own out. You don't have no right to judge me. You working your own salvation out. And you know where I find this at? Self-righteous, religious people that's been raised in the church. God wants us to come out of this church life, folks. I'm telling you, there's a bunch of hypocrites right behind the pulpit, and I'll say it. Because God delivered me from the church a long time ago. All you hear in church, oh, you got to walk holy. Oh, you got to, let me tell you something. Yes, you got to walk holy. I agree with holiness. But if I make a mistake, don't put me in the garbage can and throw me out the back door and count me out. Because God don't count me out. Matter of fact, he qualifies the person that fails. Matter of fact, the more you fail, the more you qualified. Because then you're not leaning to yourself, but you're leaning to him for help. See what I'm saying? See where the pride comes in? Pride wants to judge. Pride wants to sit up and look, I'm living holy. You ain't living holy. You ain't living holy. Because if you was living holy, you wouldn't sit and be pointing out everything somebody's doing wrong all the time. Every time I see people like that, they got so much problems, I swear. I look at them, I say, who are you to freaking talk about somebody else? For real. You want to judge people for living like this and you go home and live 10 times worse. Why don't you get the stuff out of your closet so you can see well how to get the mold out of your brother's eye? Ain't that what Jesus said? Clean your own doorstep before you start cleaning others. Okay, 12. Therefore, one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy, and who art thou that judgest another?
There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou to judgest another? There's only one that can, so who are you? That's what that said.
And it says right here in 13. It says, God, go to now that you say, today or tomorrow we go in such a city. Continue there a year and buy and sell again. Wherefore you know not what you shall be tomorrow, for what is your life? It is like a vapor. It is like a vapor. It appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and that. But now you rejoice and boast in all that such rejoices in is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not is sin to who? Him. Now, my sin might not be your sin. A sin is considered what God has told you to stop doing. You know that? It ain't what God told Sister Newberry to stop doing or Jason to stop doing. It's sin. It won't be sin for me, but it will be sin for you because God told you to stop doing it. That's what that means. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. To him, it is sin. So if God corrects you about something and gets on to you about something, that means you need to stop it. Not me. I'm not your God. See, we got to get out of God's position. That we as people want to play God, don't we? Because we want to be justified in our own wrongdoings is why. And that's what this whole chapter is talking about. Listen, get out of the judgment seat of God. Get out of the judgment seat of God. Because if you can't live the life God lived, and you can't, neither one of us can't, there ain't nobody on here, Benny Hinn, Rod Parsley, it don't matter who they are, ain't nobody on the face of this earth can live up to what God has lived. God is holy, God is righteousness, God is pure, and we will never, ever, ever, ever be good as him. Even Jesus said, don't call me good. There's only one good. There's only one. Nobody on here is good. I tell Jason all the time, I said, Jason, don't put your trust in me. I'll let you down. I don't try. I'm not a pastor. Oh, call me at 9 o'clock at night if you need me. No, you call God because I might not be here at 9 o'clock. I might die. What are you going to do when I die? Call me in heaven. Come on. I try to teach you to serve and trust him and only him because he's the one that can carry you through. He's the only one. When people try to get you to trust in them, that's pride. I don't get no man to trust in me. I'll let you down. I don't want you to trust in me. Yeah, I want you to rely that God's talking through me to you, but don't put your confidence in me because I still have a flesh. And God, even Jesus walked up to Peter. He said, Peter said, Lord, you are good. He said, Peter, don't call me good. See, prideful people want to get glory for themselves. Come on. Come on, you pastors, if you hear this on this podcast, I'm telling you, you're prideful and you need to get rid of your pride because it's stinking before God's nostrils. Your pride says, I want to get people to call me up on the phone, and pride says, I want to get people to rely on me instead of God. See, a lot of you pastors do this and you know it. You get your whole congregation to call you at 9 o'clock. You call me anytime you want to. And guess what? These people start calling you and you start complaining because you can't meet their need. Why? Because you're standing in the place of God. My friend, I can't do what God can do, folks. I'm telling you, I can't heal a fly off a toothache. I cannot heal a fly off of a toothache or a fly on a jackass's butt. I can't, because I'm only human. But when I uplift myself for you to depend on me instead of depend on him, even Jesus, when he walked the face of this earth, he did not glorify himself, because he also said, I only see what my Father does. Y'all keep putting your trust in me because it's him working through me to get to y'all. Jesus sits at the right hand of God. He don't sit on his throne. When a wife's out of order, she tries to take the place of her husband. Just saying. You ladies, you need to get in order. If God's put a godly man in your life and he walks with God, no, he's not perfect, but he walks with God and you know it. You get in his place, God's going to put something on you sash can't take off. I've seen it. You can't change the order of God, folks. We try to change the order of God. God didn't make you male and male. You can't produce with your ding-dong hanging out. I'm not trying to be vulgar on here, guys, but I'm trying to tell you something. There's no such thing as a male and male marrying. Come on. That's hypocrisy. God didn't create that. He didn't create that kind of order. He put a man and woman together, and when they become naked, my Lord, they had a ball, because God meant it to be that way. He did not put a man and woman to woman together. That's hogwash. And if you promote that, shame on you. It's out of order. God created the heavens and then the earth. He didn't create the earth, then the heavens. You know why he created the heavens first? Because the heavens was a copy of the earth. God made heaven just like earth. The only difference the heaven and earth is, and I'm going to tell you something, God showed me. The only difference from heaven to earth is it don't have sin in it, guys. It has the flowers in heaven. It don't have pollution. Actually, the flowers are so beautiful, it don't have pollution. A lot of our stuff for the cold weather and pollution and all that stuff, it causes our ozone layer to cause stuff to look as bad as it does. But see, there's no sin. Sin has caused a lot of stuff to come on this earth. But heaven is sinless. You understand what I'm saying? There's no hatred in heaven. There's no jealousy in heaven. There's no pride in heaven. There's humility and humbleness, serving one another. Listen, they don't care who they are. They don't compete with one another. There's no competition in heaven. That's why God kicked Lucifer out, because he started competing. And the ones that wanted to follow him could follow him, and they're out of heaven too. So you're going to go to heaven how you treat people. That's how you're going to go to heaven. There's only a couple of things can knock you out of heaven and you'll go straight to hell for. Number one, being a judge. If you walk around like a judge, like you ain't got nothing wrong with you, boy, I've seen that before. If you walk around like a judge telling people they're going to go to hell for this, that, and this, when you're doing the same thing, you're going to go to hell. Yeah, you are. When you choose to forgive instead of hold bitterness and hatred in your heart towards people, I don't care what they've done to you. Jesus said, if you can't forgive others, how does my Heavenly Father forgive you? You got to forgive people. I don't care what they've done to you. You got to walk in forgiveness. And another thing. Another thing will get you out of heaven if you don't love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And if you don't love your neighbor as yourself. Consider you in their shoes, and you're going to send them to hell and judge them to hell? Come on. You will go to hell for this, guys. If you don't love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, there's two commandments I give you, and it covers all the commandments. Think about this. If you love your neighbor, number one, you won't be committing adultery on them. Number two, you won't be blaspheming them, throwing rocks at them because they make a mistake. Come on. If I don't love my neighbor and I don't love God, come on. But you got to love God first, guys. That's why he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. I tell everybody, listen, you got to get grips to a revelation that I saw God show me. You got to love God first because you don't know how to love your neighbor. You don't know how to love. I don't know how to love. I have not a clue how to love. If I don't love God with all my heart, mind, body, and soul, then how in the world am I going to love? It's impossible. I tell people all the time, you going to give up on them? I say, well, I don't give up on nobody. But I can tell you this. I can only go far as God lets my heart go. And why do I say that? Because the Bible scripture says God has shed a love by the Holy Ghost, a love in your heart. You understand God gave you love for people? And if God takes that love, then he's gone. That's what you got to be worried about. You ain't got to be worried about me. You got to be worried about what he thinks. You got to go to him. You don't got to go to me, my friend. You got to go to him because he's the one that sheds the love in your heart to love people, folks. God will give you a love for people out of this world if you'll let him. And when that love stops, that's when God is finished. Oh, Jason, you think God's finished with people? Let me tell you something, my friend. There's going to come a day when he's going to be finished with mankind. There's going to come a day that he's going to separate the goat from the sheep. Come on. And it's coming very soon. It's coming sooner than you think. He's going to separate the goats from the sheep. He's going to separate from the true from the real. He's going to separate the people that served him with their hearts, and he's going to separate people that didn't love him. You got to understand something. If you don't love God, you're not going to heaven. Do you understand? You got to love him. You know what saved Peter from going to hell, from denying him? And you know what killed? Do you know what killed Judas was his love for God? He didn't have no love. You got to love God with all your heart. Even though you make mistakes, you repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I did it again. You know what saved Peter? His love. Jesus walks up to him and says, Peter, do you lovest thou me? Told him three times. Do you lovest thou me? He said, then go feed my sheep. See, when you love somebody, then you'll go do. It's not going to be a say. It's going to be a do. When you love somebody, you'll put feet to it. You won't say nothing. You'll put feet to it, and you will show them. See, I can love somebody in a quiet voice. I don't have to tell you nothing. My actions speak it. That's how I know. I watch people's action, and I can tell exactly where your heart is. Your mouth, nah, your mouth is full of crap. Your mouth is full of it. Jesus said, they serve me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. When your heart's in something, friend, you're a doer of it. I don't care how much you read this Bible. Don't impress me. I know people read the Bible. I got to go read my Bible at 9 o'clock in the morning. Every morning I do my devotion, and they live like hell. And they don't learn nothing. I read my Bible every day, man. I'm a devotional. Yeah, I see. And you ain't learning a darn thing. Because your heart ain't in it. You understand, you don't read the scriptures if your heart's not in it. But if you read the scriptures when your heart's in it, you'll read and apply. Do you understand? You won't just read. Paul said, I'd rather you be a doer of the word instead of a hearer. My God, I don't care how much you go to church and hear the word of God. It don't mean a hell of beans. You can go in there and read that Bible and flip through that Bible 150 times. If you don't do nothing it says, what good is it? Why don't you just try to apply one scripture you read a day? How about that? Because if you don't apply it, what good is it? Half of you folks don't even pay tithes on here. Just saying. If you don't pay tithes, then you are not becoming a doer of Malachi chapter 3. Don't tell me you love God. Oh, I love God. Yeah, but you don't pay tithes. You don't give tithes. You forsake the assembly yourself together. Paul said, don't forsake it. But you do. And then you turn around and tell me, I love God. You don't love God. He calls you to do something and you make every excuse in the book. I love God. I love God. No, you don't. That's like somebody coming to my house telling me they love me to the blue in the face and never show me. I'm thinking, okay. Okay, you got some poor, pitiful ways of showing it. Let me ask y'all a question. Have you ever seen a banana? Have you ever seen a banana with lips? Have you ever seen a fruit with lips? Have you ever seen a watermelon with lips? I hadn't. How do you know? Jesus said you will know them by the fruit they bear. What is he meaning by that? This is what he's meaning, my friend. This is what he's meaning. You watch people's actions and you can tell exactly where they are. I'm giving y'all some nuggets here. This is going to help y'all with y'all's crowd y'all hang around. I'm serious. Are they really your friend? Well, they say they are. But do you see it in their actions? No. Did they come to your funerals? Are they there when you do your lives? Are they around your ministry? And then one word they say, I believe in your ministry. I know you're of God, but they never show up to none of your meetings. Come on. I already detained your fruit and it's rotten. Here, it's rotten. Jason, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Your fruits to me is shining. You know why? Jason comes on here. He listens to all our TikToks. He really believes in this ministry. You know how I can tell? He's always here. When you believe in something, you will, what? Put action to it. You won't just go around, oh, that preacher's good. He's so good. Yeah. Come time that the meeting start, you ain't nowhere to be found. Okay. Your fruit's rotten. Okay, I'm just going to tell you, your fruit is rotting. Because you're picking my faults out. See, some people get around my ministry and they pick my faults out and then they go run because they think I live an ungodly life and all this stuff. Let me tell you something. You cannot put me in a judgment seat. I don't care what you find on me. You can pick the most failures of me and allow Satan, and that's what Satan does. Think about this, guys. Satan's constantly trying to get accusations on us. When you first got saved, what'd he do? Oh, look at you, Jason. Oh, you told a little white lie. You're going to go to hell. That's it. You might as well just quit and give up on God. See, that's what he wants. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to stop and stop serving God and get condemnation on your life. And he wants you to stop because he wants to put condemnation. But what does the Bible say? There's now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. He wants you to give up. He wants you to stop going for God. Even though you make mistakes, he wants you to stop going for God. That's what he wants. So here, I'm going to wrap it up, guys. I'm going to wrap it up right here. Don't let nobody put you in a place of judgment any longer. Quit letting it. You can't judge me. I hope you find the biggest wrong thing on me and to throw me in a ditch because you know what? When you do, you're going to go to hell, not me. Because now you've prejudged me and you don't have the right to. You don't. You don't have the right to tell anyone where they're going. The only way you have a right is using the word of God, what the Bible says that we need to do. It's going to save us from hell. What's going to save you from hell is not love. Listen, what's going to save you from a hell is to love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. You got to fall in love with God, folks. And don't sit here and tell me none of you love him when you ain't doing nothing for him. Do you pay your tithes? Are you forsaking your assembly yourself? Now, I'm not talking about going to church, guys. That's not what I'm talking about. Tonight, we're assembling ourselves. We don't have to be in a church building. Let's get out of that church mentality stuff. Think about it, you got to be in a building to go to heaven. That's not what God's talking about. Matter of fact, back in the old days, they sit on the sand shore and sit right there on the ground and fellowshipped. It said, do not forsake the assembly yourself together of that day approaching. Assemble means to come together. It didn't say where. It just said, don't forsake it. And people forsake it every day. As a matter of fact, they go to church on Sunday and they forget Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And Saturday. Come on. Just saying. We got to fellowship, folks. We're fellowshipping right now. Y'all are on here. We're communion together. We are assembling together. Right here on TikTok. And if God's leading you to a church, then so be it. Wherever he's telling you to assemble yourself, then do it. Whether it be here on TikTok or whether it be at the church. And you know what? Sometimes it's on TikTok or sometimes it's on Facebook, whatever. As long as you assemble yourself, come on. And the reason I say this, because most of the churches got closed down in the pandemic. And thank God for this online stuff. Come on. That's why God laid it on my heart to start an online ministry. Hello. I didn't know the pandemic was coming. Asked her. I didn't know the pandemic was coming. God started laying on my heart before the pandemic hits, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. Sure did. I didn't know a pandemic was going to hit. He said, I want you to start a ministry out of your home on the internet. And that's exactly what I've done. Been doing it ever since. I didn't know all the churches was going to close down. A lot of them closed down. So that just lets you know that it's not the building. It says assemble yourself. It didn't say in a building. That could be anywhere.
He also said go to the street, the highways and the
highways and the hedges.
And compel them to come in.
To come in where? To the assembly. That could be here on Facebook, TikTok. I mean, it could be anywhere.
Yeah, they are too afraid to open the church. Some of them are, and they're wearing masks, you know, so that's okay. Some of them are going.
But we need to not forsake these things. Guys, if you'll start applying these principles to your life, I'm telling you, God will bless you. Number one, time. Your talent, and your treasure. Guys, assemble yourself. Give God what's God's 10% of your money. Find you a place where you can assemble to and start sowing seed and tithe. If you want to tithe here, the link's up at the top. Really. If you want to tithe here on the podcast, you can go to paypal.me/JasonLeppard, or you can go do the thekingdomradio.com/give now. I mean, you can go to those things. I would rather you go to thekingdomradio.com/give now, thekingdomradio.com/give now. thekingdomradio.com/give now. You go there, type it in. Does your Cash App work? Yes, you can go to our Cash App. It's $GodSavingMinistries. $GodSavingMinistries. You can sow there tonight. Give God your 10%, guys. Show him you love him. Listen, you show God you love him, and I'm going to tell you something. We show him by our giving. God, I believe that you're in this ministry. You're working through this ministry. And God, I just, you know what? I'm just going to obey you and watch what happens to you. Guys, I can go over and over how we've been blessed. I mean, you can ask her. We're so blessed. We are so blessed. Yeah, we go through battles. We go through battles. We go through things. But in the general of our finances, we're blessed. I can tell you. And I've made her a firm believer of it. Because when I first met her, she didn't believe in none of it. And she saw God move. And she keeps seeing God move. But you know, till I got obedient with my tithing, where God told me to put my tithing. I'm just saying. So if you guys want to sow to our Cash App, it's Money, God Saving Ministries. Or you can go to www.thekingdomradio.com/give now and help us spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have an online radio. It's going to be up soon, I think. I think it's the apps. They're still working on the apps, but it's going to be on Android, and it's going to be on Google. Guys, we're doing all this not to get ourselves known. We're trying to reach people for God. We're trying to reach people for God. So why don't you show God you love him tonight by giving a seed? By giving a seed. 10% of your income. If God's led you here and wants you to sow, guys, sow. Show him how much you know, I can't give God, and I practice what I preach. I promise you I do. Every Friday, guess what I do? We give our tithe. We give God what's God's.
No, God don't.
It's not that God needs your money. God don't need your money. Matter of fact, he uses money because he knows it's a part of your heart.
Yep. It's also sometimes seeing that where people's heart is.
And seeing where your heart is. What did Judas do? Judas took the money and God put it in his hands, and guess what he did with it?
Betrayed the Son of God.
The Bible said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. He didn't say money was evil.
The love of it.
God don't want you to love the money, but if you're loving the money, you're being stingy and you don't want to give none of it away. Come on. You don't want to give none of it away.
And sometimes it's not what you give, because there was a time that we took every bit of the change out of our pocket. We had nothing but some change. You remember that? And the next day you got blessed with that big job?
Oh, yeah. I let your wife know I won't. Let me reply to her message on TikTok. Okay, I let her know, Newberry.
She knows it's about
something. So, here we go, guys. Here we go. All right, guys, thank you for coming on the podcast. Thank you.